System alert.
This is a Slogus Geocaching podcast produced by Paul Konopacki of St. Louis, Missouri. November 15th, 2006. Episode number 45. Interview with Jim Rodell, a.k.a. Ozarkschen, from Nixa, Missouri.
Hello everyone, this is Paul Konopacki. I'm a member of SLAGA, the St. Louis Area Geocachers Association. In these podcasts, I interview geocachers, land managers, and others involved in geocaching, as well as gather audio at geocaching events. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or go to podcast.geostl.com for other options to download episodes. During the podcast, if you hear this sound, it means I am about to explain what you are going to hear next. If you hear this sound, it means there has been a break in the conversation or a change in physical location. These podcasts are published under the Creative Commons Non-Commercial No Derivative License. To contact me, send an email to podcast@geostl.com. It is November 15th, 10 p.m. Central Time. I'm about to do a Skype out call to Jim Rodell. I've not done a Skype out call before. Here we go.
Jim.
Hey, Jim, this is Paul Konopacki.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Great. Well, this is Paul Konopacki, and I'm on a Skype out call with Ozarks Jim, whose real name is Jim Rodell. And Jim is from Nixa, Missouri.
That's Springfield area, right.
That's
Springfield, Branson.
And you're a geocacher, and you're also an Air Force brat like me. To find out a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you're from, and how you ended up in Nixa.
Yeah, I was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, a long time ago. My dad was in the Air Force, so that's how I was lucky enough to breathe in that pure Hawaiian air. Lived there for about a year and a half. Unfortunately, I don't remember anything at all about Hawaii. When I was growing up, I would tell people I used to live in Hawaii, and they wouldn't believe me. And they would say, well, why did you move? And my response would be, well, the Air Force told us we had to move.
Yeah.
Didn't really have a choice.
Have you been back to Hawaii since?
My parents said they were going to take me back there, but they went back there by themselves a few years ago. So
okay.
Hopefully they'll go back again, and this time take me and my family with them. But I also lived in Michigan, Upper Peninsula, Michigan, and lived in New Mexico. It was Holloman Air Force Base, I believe. Fortunately, I didn't really have that many memories that far back. That was the first 4 or 5 years of my life. Finally, we ended up moving to Illinois, where both my mom and dad's family was. So I lived there for about 20 years in the Quad Cities, Rock Island, Illinois, right there along the Mississippi River. Attended the public schools there in Rock Island and attended college there, majored in English and secondary education, which means I studied to be an English teacher. Taught there for a couple of years. Met my wife in an online chat room. I never thought I'd find true love there online. I really wasn't looking for it.
Well, I was hoping you would go into a little detail on that, because that sounds like an interesting story.
It was just a pure coincidence. 1994, this was really before the explosion of the World Wide Web. Remember Prodigy?
Oh, sure.
I don't know if it's even around anymore.
I don't think so.
But that's what we were both on. And I don't even remember the topic of the chat room we were in. But her nickname was Teacher. I had just gotten a teaching job, so I sent her a private message. Are you a real-life teacher? And she said, yes, are you? And I said, yes. And we got to talking and discovered we had all these things in common and proposed to her 2 months later. And then the next year, moved down to Springfield, Missouri, gave up my teaching job in Illinois. Wanted to teach, could find a job down here, so decided to go back to college and study computers. I got a degree in computer information systems, and then eventually I got a job as a training specialist, which kind of combined my teaching experience and my computer experience. Joined a company called CarMac, and what they do is they develop software for heavy-duty truck dealerships. Mm-hmm. If you're ever driving down the interstate, and you see off the side of the interstate a big Mack dealership or Peterbilt or Kenworth or Freightliner, we develop their dealer business systems. And so what I would do, I would go to their client sites and train in my software. And so that took me all over the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Went to places I never thought I'd go, you know, Vancouver, British Columbia, Mexico City, Mexico. Went there a few times. That's quite an experience. It's almost like a whole different world down there. Thing is, with Mexico, they're bilingual. If you drive right across the border, you're in a totally different country, because everything, at least where I was in Spanish. And so that was like a big culture shock for me.
Are you still traveling these days?
It's very rare, but if they need some help with the trip, I'll go. Yeah, they stuck me in a cubicle in the corner and I sit at the computer and type all day, basically. Yeah, I write the user instructions. I always thought it'd be cool to have a GPS, and maybe a couple of years I'd go to the Garmin website and just kind of dream about getting a GPS. And so finally I saved enough money to buy one. So I thought, well, I wonder if I can do any games with this GPS. Went to Google, typed in GPS games, and found, oh, geocaching, what is this? And looked it up, and wow, there's a geocache right there, by my house in Nixon, and right there in Springfield, and right there by my in-law's house. And wow, this is pretty cool. I was in my in-law's house in Rolla on Memorial Day 2004. Printed off about four or five cache pages, and my wife and I went out, and the first one I found was the Rolla Travel Bug Hotel. One of Thunders.
Yeah, he's about the only one who puts caches out there in Rolla these days.
Yep. Yeah, and there's not as many in Rolla when I first started. I think a lot of them have been archived.
When I went from Springfield down to into Arkansas, did I go through Nixa on my way through Branson?
No, I listened to that podcast, and I think you went down Highway 65, which goes east of Springfield.
Okay.
And Nixa is actually directly south of Springfield.
Well, it says in here you're a first to find hound.
And this was before they actually had the notifications. I would sit there at the computer when I didn't have anything else to do and just keep hitting, refresh on my pocket query of, caches that I haven't found. And eventually, I every once in a while I'd get first to find that way. Now, with the notification, it's almost impossible around here to get a first to find, especially since I live in Nixa, and most of the caches here are in Springfield, and that's about a 20-minute drive for me. So anyone who lives in Springfield, which is most of the caches around here, has a better chance. But I have 33 first finds right now.
Now
probably the craziest first find I've done was New Year's Day this year. A friend of mine, Atacacher, and there was a new cache placed. After midnight, we went out, and it was, below freezing, and we thought, oh, well, let's just go out in the middle of the woods and find a cache at 1 in the morning, and we got first find. That was fun.
On your user profile page, I see a picture of you in New Hampshire, and that wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, I was up there for one of those trips where they needed an extra trainer, so I said, sure, I'll go. And it was up in Watertown, New York, about maybe 30 minutes from the Canadian border. Never had time to go to Canada. Stayed a couple extra days, drove through nine states. Drove 900 miles, and I think I found, I forget how many I found, but I wanted to find at least one cache in each of those states. It was a lot of driving, and especially the first night, I went through these small highways in the dark. And if you've ever driven up there, but it's really mountainous and really curvy roads. It was kind of scary that first night because I was doing it mostly in the dark. Most of New Hampshire I saw in the dark. I spent the first night in Concord, New Hampshire, and the next morning went up and visited the great Franklin Pierce, who's the 14th United States president. That was actually a waymark, the first waymark that I've ever found. It was the graves of famous people, and his grave was one of those.
You're also into waymarking now. Does that consume your time as much as...
Not as much as I thought I'd be. I thought it'd be kind of neat. I don't know, maybe sometime down the road I've been waiting for them to... And I don't know if they do this now, if you can download GPX files or LOC files. Do you know if they have that yet?
Like you can with pocket queries?
Right. Really been waiting for it to be more like geocaching, where you can do the pocket query thing and download waypoints, things like that. I saw now that they have the little stat bar like they do with geocaching.
You often get on the news groups?
So much, I'm more of a reader. I guess you call me a lurker. I really don't post that much.
Have you been involved at all with getting an organization going in the Ozarks?
Every once in a while, we'll have get-togethers. We don't actually have an organization like Salaga or Kansas City. Efforts have been made to start something, but it's never really come together. Could be just people are too busy. I mean, I would like to participate myself, but I'm raising a very active one-year-old, so he takes up a lot of my time, so I just don't have the time to put the effort in as much as I'd like to. I see a lot of our cashers down here, you know, young cashers with families.
Or jobs during the day.
That's probably it. Yeah, I'm really envious of your organization. I wish we could do something down here. Like when I went up to the Kansas City summer picnic they had, I think, in August. You know, it was really a lot, good turnout, you know, good food, and they had, you know, giveaways, things like that. And I said to myself, I wish, you know, we could do something like that down in the Ozarks. See, right now, we're the Ozarks Mountain Geocachers is southwest Missouri and northwestern Arkansas. I went out on Yahoo group sometime not too long ago. Someone set up a Springfield, Missouri geocaching group. I don't know if whoever set that up is still around anymore. So I don't know if we'll start a new group for just Springfield, Missouri area, or if we'll keep the Ozark Mountain Geocachers going. I'm not sure which direction we're headed.
Were you geocaching when there was this controversy in Springfield where there was somebody who was taking caches and either making them his own or moving them and reposting the coordinates?
No, I never heard about that. We had a post today about that on our forum. Yeah, Terry, who's sort of the leader of the forums, said, Renegade Knight may be joining the group. He needs help with a cache pirate they have in their area. Anyone remember how they found out who our pirate was? Who found him out anyway? Remember any details that might help him? I'm not sure what that's all about. I did see a post in the geocaching.com forums about a cache pirate in the Midwest, I think up in Minnesota or in Wisconsin. He stole like 100 caches. Yeah, fortunately, I haven't been the victim of a cache pirate, at least that I know of.
You've put out 27 caches?
27, right. And I think I have the active caches right now are maybe 15 or 16.
Do you remember how many caches you found before you decided to put out a cache?
I think it was about maybe 50. I wanted to make sure I knew what I was doing.
Are you still interested in geocaching, or has the excitement waned a little bit, or are you finding new ways to keep the hobby exciting?
I would say the interest is still there. I would say the time to actually participate in geocaching is not there as much anymore, just simply because now I'm a dad. So I thought after our kid was born, the older he got, the more free time I've had, I'd get. Well, that's kind of the opposite, you know. So I spend, as soon as I come home from work, my wife works all day. As soon as I come home from work, I pretty much spend my whole evening taking care of him. But on nice days, he and I will go caching together. Okay. We can't really do marathon caching. Like, we can't find 30 or 40 in one day. You know, we find 3 or 4, and we still have a good time.
Are you looking forward to getting to 1,000?
I have a spreadsheet that I maintain, and I've got a formula that calculates when I'll reach each milestone. Sometime next year, I think.
You have published bookmark lists out there, too. One called Caches I've Done Where Poisonous Snakes Have Been Spotted.
Well, it started to add up, and I thought, well, you know, some snakes have been spotted, you know, near here. Just let people know. I actually found a poisonous snake. I was geocaching in the Great Dismal Swamp in southern Virginia. This was about a year and a half ago. Clue for the cache said to get on a log and look underneath the log. So getting on the log, and I thought, you know, this would be a great place for a snake. And I looked down in the down there in the weeds and the brush, and there's a copperhead curled up there in the shade. I said, oh, just forget it. There's evidence of poisonous snakes near here. I'm not going to disturb them. You know, I took some pictures and video and just left them.
Okay.
I drove 125 miles that day to get a DNF. The Mark Twain Forest, we have a lot of caches down here in the Mark Twain Forest. The cache may be right off the side of the road. However, I didn't know that I'd have to take my little Corolla up and down these rocky hills through the Mark Twain Forest. So I thought if there was some kind of a vehicle rating, like you need a four-wheel drive to get to this cache, you know, that would be helpful. You know, put that along with your difficulty rating, terrain rating, which would be, you know, hiking or walking. and then you'd have a vehicle rating.
How often do you do pocket queries?
Well, in my local area, pretty much anything, and I think I have maybe a 30-mile radius from my house. When I go to town, I usually don't like doing multi-caches that take a long time.
Right.
A lot of my caches are multi-caches that take, you know, about an hour, but they'll take you to interesting locations. Like I have one where there's a national cemetery, and we have five Medal of Honor winners. So I have to find all these graves and other things in the cemetery. And it takes you about an hour to do that. If it were me finding that cache and I was on the road, I personally would never do that because it takes too long. If I'm on the road, I like to find the real quick ones.
Ozark Jim, I mean, kind of self-explanatory, but how did you actually decide that was you want to be your geocaching name?
Well, it's obvious I live in the Ozarks, and my name is Jim. I've used it before. That's my eBay nickname. That's my nickname on Yahoo. I use two GPSs. The first one I bought was a Garmin Legend, the blue one. One time it took me 3 hours to find a virtual cache in Branson. I couldn't find how to get up to the road where the virtual cache was. I hate driving in Branson anyway. That's it. I'm going to get me a GPS with routing maps. So then I upgraded to a Garmin GPS Map 60C. And so I actually use both of them. I use the GPS Map 60C in the car, and then I use the Legend outside of the car.
Caches.
I use a Palm Zier for paperless caching. And that just changed everything once I did paperless caching. That's just wonderful. I love it.
So you'll never go back?
Never. I started caching before my son was born. My wife, she thought it was all right. She will not go to the woods in the summer. You know, she said the only way she'll go caching with me in the summer is if it's in a building or on a concrete slab. And she doesn't like it when I come home and I've got 13 ticks on me she's got to pull off. One day I came home from caching, gave her a back scratch, didn't know that I had gotten poison ivy in my fingernails. And so she developed a bad poison ivy rash on her back. Kind of got in trouble for that. I used to be a really big couch potato. My big hobby before geocaching was movies. Big movie collector, big movie watcher, love movies. So for me to actually go out in the woods and take a 900-mile drive, you know, through New England is something I never thought I'd be doing 5 years ago. One thing I like about geocaching is it's a combination of a lot of my hobbies. I love maps. I could stare at maps all day long. I love technology. I love gadgets. I love computers. I love planning trips. Every geocache hunt that I've ever gone on, I've taken at least one picture of. Digital photography is another hobby that I can incorporate into geocaching. I use Microsoft Streets and Trips to do the actual planning of which caches I'm going to find first. So GSAC, Easy GPS, Microsoft Streets and Trips.
Other people get together, say, hey, this weekend I'm going to go do some caches. Do you want to join me? Get together as a group? Or is it pretty much still an individual sport in your area? Oh, we got dropped for some reason here. Okay. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul.
There's Paul.
Yeah, not sure what happened. And you were gone.
Got disconnected for some reason. Any particular geocaching stories that you can tell us about? Any lose your car, lose your GPS, broke a leg, run into the law?
Nothing that dramatic.
Lost your wallet.
I mean, I've almost lost my GPS. I was in Jefferson City, and the lanyard was sticking out of my pocket, and I got snagged on a tree, and spent an hour looking for my GPS. I've been pretty fortunate, I guess.
If it were raining, would you not go out? Or if you have your mind set on going geocaching, do you go out regardless?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
this morning I found a cache in the rain. It was right there on my way to work. One time I actually went out and found a geocache just because it was raining and just because I was wearing my nice dress clothes. I thought, you know, I'm just going to be crazy enough today. And it was a cache that I had gotten a DNF on before, and I thought, doggone it, I don't care. It'll be fun to find a cache in my nice dress clothes in the rain. So I did, and I found it. I got my dress shoes all wet. In my 700-plus finds, I've never been approached by a police officer, a security guard, or anybody else. I've been pretty lucky so far. Ones I really don't feel comfortable with are caches that are in playgrounds, but I'll usually do them anyway and just talk on the cell phone, act like I'm waiting for somebody. I did one right in the middle, there were kids and moms everywhere, and just talked on the cell phone and brought along clipboard and, you know, tried to look official and looked at my watch like I was, you know, waiting for somebody. And I think I do a pretty good job having fake cell phone conversations. My wife says I look fake. I'll actually incorporate my hunt for the cash into my cell phone conversation. I don't know if you've ever done the Off Your Rocker series caches that are in Cracker Barrels.
Oh, no.
Usually totally loaded with smuggles everywhere. So I'll just walk around. No, you know, I never could find it. You know, I tried to look for it, and I don't know. Did they find it, and when are they getting here?
Do you have a signature item, or do you trade trinkets when you're finding caches? Or the more important, you found it, sign a logbook, and move on?
Yeah, I don't really do the trading thing. To me, it's just too much to keep track of. Recently found a geocoin. I think it was called a geocoin named Jim. And it was supposed to be found by cashers who were named Jim. And so there's like four, like the guy who owns it, his name is Jim. There's a few other cashers that found it, also named Jim. So I had this geocoin for, I don't know, way longer than I should have. Just for that reason that, you know, I keep forgetting to put them in caches, and I know the owner wants them to keep moving. And I know some people like to have that on their profile. You know, oh, yeah, I found a, you know, the Kansas geocoin, so it'll be on my profile. I usually don't. I usually don't care about that. I'm usually more all about the hunt. We've had some controversy in our area with, you know, people. I guess it's just in people's nature to, you know, make suggestions or, to use a harsher term, criticize. Criticism is okay to a certain point if it's helpful. I've had, you know, my caches criticized several times. I followed the forums down here before, but a few months ago, early this year, we've had some pretty heated conversations.
How do you judge the quality of a cache? And somebody got a little bit offended and started to archive all their caches.
Fortunately, the guy that did that archived his caches. He's still very, very enthusiastic and very active in geocaching, and I think he's hidden over 50 caches right now. So fortunately, he didn't. He had a change of heart and realized that not everyone was out to get him, and that we all really appreciate his caches. My part of that conversation was the caches that I started to see being placed down here were meant to be almost impossible to find. And to me, geocaches are meant to be found.
Right.
And that was just my concern. Someone kind of took that the wrong way, and I was accused of being a cache cop, you know. The conversation ended up on the main geocaching.com forums. We got that all straightened out, and, you know, apologies were made, and no one really meant to hurt anyone's feelings.
Are there restrictions on placing caches in your area? Certain landowners say, no, you can't put any here, or you can with certain permits?
Springfield Green County Park Board has a permit policy in place that you have to, and they didn't used to do that until maybe 6 months ago. Before, you would just send an email or make a phone call, and they'd say, okay, give us 2 weeks to talk to the maintenance crews. Now you've got, actually have, it's, I think it's similar to the Missouri State Parks. I think at the end of every year you have to resubmit cache information. The last I heard, all that was still in draft mode.
A couple of bullet points here on your profile page. Most challenging cache found.
It was down in the Mark Twain Forest. I think that was G-O-I-D-B. That was hidden by Geo Trailblazer. And that was kind of a long hike.
Most caches found in one day, 20? Do you remember?
Right, yeah, that was by myself. Jefferson City. And I'm kind of proud of that one because
that was
in November.
Was that the series of presidents?
Yes.
Lazy Lightning put out?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun finding those. Those were a lot of fun. I'm kind of proud that I found 20 in one day. I beat my record at the end of November since we don't have much daylight. But I remember when I came back that evening, I told my father-in-law I found, you know, 20 caches, and he went, 20? You know, you're just astounded by that. And my wife said one time they asked her, you know, is Jim like the leader of geocaching? Has he found more caches than anybody? My barber is a geocacher every once in a while. And he said his girlfriend really doesn't like doing it that much. She calls it the nerd quest.
Have you found yourself having to explain the hobby to muggles who may be looking at you funny?
I've had people ask me, you know, can I help you? One time I was up in Iowa trying to find a cache, and there was this big lit sign for a newspaper. Guy came out of a business nearby, and he said, can I help you? I said, no, I'm just checking out this sign. I thought, what a dumb response. You know, the sign. And usually I'll, if they don't see me going to actually where the cache is, I may say, well, this is what I'm doing, without compromising the location of the cache. A lot of times people will say, "Who I know someone at work who's a geocacher, or I saw that on Law & Order. I think it was Law & Order. You know, they had a show about geocaching. We recently had an article in the newspaper down here about geocaching. You notice there's a lot of new cachers since that article came out. A blog where I, if I have time, I'll try to write something. That's usually where my geocaching thoughts go. I have a Flickr account. Post more pictures there than I would on the cache page. And then with the blog, I try to write some kind of a description and then say, go here to see the pictures.
But what is your blog address?
It's on my profile, oj-geo-blog.blogspot.com. If you're a new geocacher, geocaching is a great hobby to get into. It's a good hobby to do by yourself. It's a good hobby to do with your family. Gets you off the couch, takes you a step or two before. It's educational. It's a lot of fun.
Maybe we'll see you at MOGA this year, if you can make your way up to Mark Twain Lake. You know, my trip to Arkansas, I just breezed through Springfield, and I really didn't, just barely get a taste of what's down there.
We have a lot of good caches down here. How many caches have you found?
Let's see, about 1,260-something.
So I take pictures of every cache I go to, every cache I try to find, because I know one of these days I'm not going to remember, you know, what was that cache, so hopefully the pictures will refresh my memory. Yeah, to me, it's partially about the numbers. I like to have, you know, goal, I'm only, you know, 7 caches from reaching this milestone, but I also think it's the journey, the getting there, making the memories, burning off the calories.
Well, thanks again, Jim. Well,
thank you, Paul.
We'll put this together.
I've heard your voice, you know, many, many times in the car, and it's talk to you. Heard every one of your podcasts.
Well, that's great. I'm glad somebody listens. Get very little email feedback. So whenever somebody says, oh, I listened to that, it's like, oh, great. There's one more I can add to the list that I know
I
for sure.
You do a great job, and they're very entertaining, and I've enjoyed every one of them.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll never be a Sunny and Sandy, but that's not my goal.
Yeah, they pretty much, set the bar on guessing podcast. I don't see how you could.
And they can have it. I'll just wave from below and say, hey, how's the weather up there? Well, I appreciate you being part of podcast number 45.
All right, no problem.
And we'll get that on in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Paul.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Mark Twain. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, in cooperation with Mark Twain Lake Chamber of Commerce, is pleased to announce the 4th Annual Midwest Open Geocaching Adventure. MOGA 2007 will be held at the Indian Creek Recreation Area near Mark Twain Lake on March 23rd, 24th, and 25th of 2007. There will be more than 60 permanent caches placed in the recreation area for event participants to hunt. Single, two-person, and three-person teams will compete in courses for trophies. Who will win the Minnesota Cup trophy this year? Join us for fun, food, fellowship, and of course, caching. Monroe City, Missouri is the closest town to the event. All area hotels will offer discounts to participants. Camping at the park itself is half price if you mention you are with MOGA. Registrations are now being accepted at www.mogageo.com. Check that website for up-to-date information. I expect to see you there at MOGA 2007. This is Mark Twain.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.